You're listening to The Buzz with ACT IAC, where we explore the intersection of government and technology. Hi, listeners. This is Colin Larson. Since the mass adoption of remote work began in 2020, there's been an ongoing question around what that shift in commuting habits means for American downtowns. What should office space look like, and how much of it should there be? Where should people be living and working, and how do they get between those two places? All of these have implications for policymakers, developers, and property owners. And the federal government is, in a way, all of these things. The Public Building Service, or PBS, a division of the GSA, is responsible for maintaining all of the 352 million square feet of federally owned property across America. The PBS also seeks to invest and develop urban communities, trial and prove sustainable building solutions, and be a willing and enthusiastic partner with state and local governments in achieving their goals. Now, as everyone reassesses how its employees will work, the PBS is also doing its best to steward federal properties towards their best and highest use. This week, we're joined by the Commissioner of the Public Buildings Service, Elliot Dooms, to discuss the many facets of the agency's current initiatives and how they're supporting the broader work of the Biden administration. Elliot Dooms, thank you so much for joining me on The Buzz with ACT IAC.
Great to join you, Colin. Excited to be here.
Now, to start, can you tell me how the need for federal office space has changed in the 4 years almost since the pandemic?
Well, the way we work has certainly changed. The core objective is still the same. We want to provide the right space to enable people to do their best work. And we're working with agencies, even though this change has been in place for many years. Many years ago, it was not unusual for people to telework one day out of the week or maybe even 2 days out of the week. And what the pandemic has done is advanced and moved forward and put a little bit more pressure on this idea of we don't have to work the same way we've worked. You know, they realized that many agencies realized that their workers could now be hybrid. It means agencies, just like private sector companies, we're adapting to this changing environment. And even though the agency missions have remained fairly constant, the way they carry it out is just simply evolving. So we're doing something new, and the pandemic accelerated a trend that was already moving forward.
Yeah, similar process happening, of course, in the private sector now. So when it comes to the Public Building Service, what are you all doing to adapt to these changes, and how are you helping federal agencies, you know, meet their new workspace needs?
Well, you know, GSA is the nation's landlord, and we are trying to help people understand what their needs are, how the market has changed, and basically we're giving them options. One of the things we're doing that we're really proud of is the Workplace Innovation Lab, where we've got six different types of furniture neighborhoods, and we're playing around, and we invite other agencies in to say, this is a new way of working. We're looking at modular furniture. We're looking at different types. We're looking at individual booths. We're looking at small conference rooms to kind of adapt to this new way of work. We want to give people a workplace that works for them. So we try it out, and then we're sending our chief architect and their team into their space to say, how could we reimagine this space? So if everybody's not coming into work every day, maybe you don't need an assigned workstation. Maybe you need a dock. Maybe you need a port. Maybe you need some modular furniture that you can adapt it so that you could handle having 100 people in for some type of conference, or have individual workstations, or have small work booths where people can kind of work collaboratively. There'll still always be a need for people to work in person. But the idea of everybody being anchored to a particular desk is just not the way to go. And I think GSA is really led in that ourselves at 1800 F Street, our headquarters. we have neighborhoods where different offices meet, but we don't necessarily have assigned workstations. And people come in and they use have a desk that they can register for. They can use it for that day. You can have your team in. You can register a conference room. But there's no need to carry all of this space if we don't have everyone in all at the same time.
Mm. Especially because it has a cost associated to have, you know, large permanent office buildings, I imagine.
Yeah, and I think that's something we've kind of leaned into. I think over the last, I would say, three administrations, from freeze the footprint to reduce the footprint, there's been an effort that we really just had too much space. And the pandemic and the shift there kind of crystallized that. And this is what we're doing. This is our expertise, real estate. So when agencies come to us with their program of requirements, we ask, and they said, in the past, they might've said, well, we need 200,000 square feet of space. And we say, do you really? Tell us how you work. Tell us about your mission. And we'll give you some different options so you can reduce that space. And maybe you can use that money and be and shift it over to your mission as opposed to real estate. You know, I think it's always been clear people have provided a choice. Well, either come back to work or give up your space. And some agencies have leaned wholeheartedly into, well, okay, we're willing to give up space. And we're here to provide them with the tools to do it. I mean, we're doing things like we have six federal co-working sites across the nation where GSA is maintaining a space. And federal employees from different agencies can come in if they need to collaborate, if they need to work together, and they can use that space. So we're trying to use that to say, if you have a team and you think you can do good work, and if your team only meets one day a week, well, let's set it up so we don't maintain that space all 6 days of the week. And we'll have a space where you can meet that one day of the week. So different creative solutions to try to help people solve these problems.
So something that this topic got me thinking about a lot was, particularly in D.C., the way that federal buildings or the role that federal buildings have in the downtown, you know, urban fabric. The other thing this made me think about is, unfortunately, the budget shortfall that Metro is facing because of lower ridership. And obviously, federal employees and contractors have a huge role in that. So as the government, as you all shift, you know, towards a different model, reduce the federal footprint. How do you think that interacts with downtowns, particularly in a place like DC?
No, that's a really big and important idea. I think I want to start off by talking about the executive order. I think it's 12072, the Good Neighbor Program. You know, this is the exhortation for GSA to be a good neighbor, to take into account a city's needs. You know, our core mission is to provide space to federal employees, but we think we can do that while also taking into account the interests of cities. You know, we manage 1,600 buildings across the country, and these buildings are often the hub and focal point for the community and a hub of economic activity. So we want to be a good neighbor, and, you know, we do things like, for instance, in D.C., they draw something called the central employment area. And we use that as a delineated area when we go out into the market and look for leases. And the reason we're doing that is we want to make sure that maybe our work coincides with DC's development plans. So here we've got in DC, we've got a great relationship with the local government. We take their concerns into account with the understanding that our core mission is to provide federal space, but when we can turn loose space and turn it back into the market, we've got a plan. Like, for instance, we announced in November that we were planning to dispose of the Nebraska Avenue complex, which is a huge swath of land right in the middle of DC. But we're working with the local government to essentially give them a heads up and say, start to plan, because maybe that land could be sold and it could be used for housing, other office spaces, DC government buildings. I mean, we're doing that in Fort Lauderdale, where we're getting rid of disposing of a courthouse. And we've started discussions with the mayor of Fort Lauderdale about what that might look like, whether it might be for reuse by the local government. And the one thing I've always told folks, when we're disposing of a property in our urban area, we're willing to work with you. We're willing to talk to you, have a conversation, maybe even allow you to start the planning so that whoever buys the property for the federal government can have an idea of what the local ordinances might allow them to do. And I think that's all part and parcel of being a good neighbor, which GSA is committed to doing.
Yeah, really interesting. And I have a personal stake in this. I live in Burlington, Vermont, and there is a federal building here in our downtown that's going to be offloaded. And we, like many cities, are in the midst of a housing crisis, sort of reevaluation of what downtowns are for. So I'm very curious to see what will become of that building. Can you walk me through the disposal process and, you know, a timeline, and what are the uses that typically federal buildings can get turned into?
Well, that's actually something I'm super familiar with. Disposal process is guided by Title 40. Whenever GSA is disposing of a building, first we have to determine whether it's excess to our needs, and then we offer it to other federal agencies. And if no other federal agency makes a claim on it, then it's declared surplus. Once it's declared surplus, due to the McKinney-Vento Homeless Act, the homeless service providers get the next crack at it. Then local governments or state governments, they're next. And then we have a whole list of things, something called public benefit conveyances, where we can convey the property at a discount as long as it's used for certain things. So there is a public benefit conveyance. For instance, if someone wanted to use a piece of property as a park, and they can get it at a discount, we sell it as a park, not as if you were building an office building and so on. So they have different sponsoring agencies that then go through and essentially certify that, okay, we're gonna use it this way, and this is an approved use, and then we can convey it at a discount. So there are a lot of different ways, and it's a lot of twists and turns in that process. But the one thing that GSA is always clear about is we're going to communicate with our local partners about what we're doing, and it's going to be a conversation. So that is very, very clearly spelled out in statute, the order and the priority, as well as under which conditions the property can be conveyed at a discount or even for free.
So this is more of your opinion rather than, you know, any statement about official statement about or from the GSA. But in a place like DC, where the federal government has such a huge economic impact on the region, how do you expect this shift to towards a more flexible work model for federal commuters to impact the way the city operates?
Well, I think it definitely impacts the District of Columbia, and I think we've seen that in the sale prices of commercial office buildings. I don't know if I want to haphazard a prediction, but I would just rely on the point I made earlier that we're committed to working with the district to keep them apprised of our plans and to coordinate with them and make sure that they are our partners as much as we have. I don't know that we will ever go back to a world, like I mentioned, to say 5 days a week, not 9 to 5. So, but we are looking at consolidation opportunities. We are looking at of headquarters agencies, and it's something to keep in mind what the district's plans are for redevelopment. And we have a lot of great examples in the past of working with the district. I would point out the DC Yards, which was a federal property along M Street, where we moved the Department of Transportation headquarters, and then we put out to market all of the parcels next to it. We revitalized that part of the city. I would refer you to the NoMa neighborhood, where GSA and the federal government put some agencies like the SEC, the ATF, and then for a brief time, GSA headquarters swung to the NoMa neighborhood, and that neighborhood has been redeveloped. And then I'd also point to St. Elizabeth, where for the first time ever, we moved a federal agency east of the river. And we've been, you know, even though our mission is to provide a home to the new Department of Homeland Security on the west campus of St. Elizabeth, the district has done a great job of redeveloping the east campus. And it's been very complimentary. And I spent a lot of time with the executive director of the East Campus, kind of keeping them apprised of how many employees we thought were going to be showing up to work in St. Elizabeth's, making sure that they knew all the new food options that are coming there. The district put the WNBA Mystics teams home right there, and that has led to a surge of redevelopment east of the river for the first time. So we've got all these past instances of working closely with the district, and we expect that relationship to continue to pay dividends.
I think it's really great to see in the planning context when stakeholders can sort of move together in the same direction rather than having to wrangle everyone towards a goal. Yeah.
Yeah.
So some of these, you know, amenities that are trying to be coordinated around federal buildings, office buildings, neighborhood redevelopment goals. How do you think that this relates to efforts across the federal government to recruit and retain younger, newer talent? And how are those efforts also reflected in the work that the Public Building Service is doing?
Well, I think it's kind of reflected in our Workplace Innovation Lab. We know that the workplace needs to be an attractive place. We have to induce people there. We have to give people quiet spaces where they can put their head down and do their work. We have to have collaborative space where people can talk and exchange ideas. So I think that's one of these are many of the different things that we're playing around with our innovation lab. We're actually going to be shutting down our current version of it and hopefully sometime later in 2024, deliver the Workplace Innovation Lab 1.5 with an eye on what recruitment is. I think as far as just in general, the amenities, I am a firm believer, if you build it, they will come. Businesses want to go to where workers are. So as we continue to look at consolidation opportunities, I think businesses will go where they see federal employees are. They will provide snacks. They will provide the dry cleaning. So that's something we certainly keep in mind. But oftentimes that can resolve on its own. But we are working with the Innovation Lab to make the workplace just a more attractive place in general.
I want to talk a bit about, you know, proximity to work and home and transportation. You know, the Biden administration has a lot of climate goals. Transportation is a big part of this, where people work, how they get to work. Are any of those aspects of the workplace coming into what you all are doing at the Public Building Service?
Yeah. So I think GSA has always been interested in transit-oriented development. When we go out with potential lease solicitations, oftentimes that's taken into account. So we've always been oriented around, and I have no expectation that's going to change. What I would say is that GSA is a huge part of this administration's sustainability goals. We got about $3.3 billion in the Inflation Reduction Act for low embodied carbon materials, and we have 150 projects across the nation. So it's certainly always been a part, but GSA has really kind of led on that. We want people out of their cars in mass transit. And I won't say out of the cars. We want to give people the option to take mass transit to work because we understand that oftentimes that makes the most sense. And oftentimes, to our earlier point about the District of Columbia, that's a huge part of the city's plan, is to not have so many people in cars and have people on WMATA. Obviously, the federal government offers subsidies for people that are taking mass transit. So that part won't change. And if anything, we're just going to lean further into that. It's always going to be a part of our analysis about how can we get people to take mass transit? How can we make things more walkable so that people don't feel the need that they have to get in the car? That's an option, but they can also take Metro and get it in and out of work every day.
Yeah, and you also mentioned building materials and LEED certification buildings. I know that's a huge part of the goal of federal buildings moving forward. Are there any other architectural goals or aspects of what we might see in the next, 10 years related to that?
Well, I'll tell you, one of the things that actually has an impact on architecture is we're trying to electrify as many buildings mm-hmm. as we can. You may know that GSA, the federal government, has a goal of getting to 100% carbon-free electricity by 2030. We have a goal of having a net zero emissions portfolio by 2045. And we've incorporated green building standards into all our lease solicitations. I keep everyone I meet with, I say, if your building isn't getting greener, it's going to be hard to do business with GSA. We've incorporated electrification into our P100, which is our construction guide for building new buildings. So, and as you probably know, one of the factors that are considered in a LEED certified buildings is whether you have bike racks and you're making it easy for people. That's one way to get some points in getting your LEED Platinum certification. So this is something that GSA has just been a leader in for the last 10 or 20 years. You know, the best thing about GSA, I often say are the people, but I think it's also about the leadership. We kind of, I believe we serve as kind of the research and development lab for all buildings all across the world. And we figured out a long time ago that buildings are huge users of electricity. So everything we can do to green our buildings is ultimately a way to address sustainability in a very kind of permanent way.
I appreciate the mention of bike racks. Have you seen many federal bike commuters or perhaps a growth in federal bike commuters recently?
I don't know that I can say growth, but I know that certainly here in Washington, D.C., this is a bike town.
Yeah.
With plenty of bike lanes. And in fact, one of my colleagues works in congressional affairs, regularly bikes from the same neighborhood that I am all the way into work every day. So I would say that's certainly a huge aspect. And he's one of the senior appointees over here. And biking is his primary mode of transportation. And I see other employees. So you see it in your commute into the city. People are constantly biking. And the safer these cities become to bike, I think the more likely we are to have more federal employees biking to work on a regular basis.
Yeah, just might have to include some showers in the new buildings during those D.C. summers, I think.
Yeah, no, I think that's fair.
All right, final question. Wish list in the next 5-10 years for the federal building portfolio.
Well, my number one wish list is for a fix to the funding mechanism for the Federal Building Fund so we can get some regular funding. It's one of our top legislative priorities. It's hard to plan for our capital needs with such variable funding. So that's number one. And two, we just want to continue to lead on low embodied carbon materials. We are constantly looking for more efficient ways to build buildings. Our wish list is to hit that goal in 2030 of being carbon-free electricity. And then two, just to continue to be the go-to for federal agencies that are trying to think about how their workplace is. And we want to be innovators in showing people different ways of working to say, look, we understand that the world is changing. I want to convince more agencies to consolidate their headquarters with each other and get out of space and get our utilization rates up. Like that's something that we're centrally focused on. But we realize we have to give agencies a path towards success, and we are singularly focused on that.
Elliot Dooms, thank you so much for joining me on The Buzz with ACT IAC. Elliot is the Public Building Service Commissioner at the GSA. Lots of exciting stuff coming forward.
Colin, great to hang out with you, and good luck. This is really cool.
That's all for this week on The Buzz with ACT IAC. Be sure to follow us on your podcast platform of choice to never miss an episode. To stay informed on all things ACT IAC, follow us on LinkedIn and sign up for our daily news flash at actiac.org. ACT IAC is a nonprofit, nonpartisan organization dedicated to advancing government through the effective and innovative application of technology. You can support The Buzz and other ACT IAC programming by becoming an ACT IAC member. Members get exclusive access to communities of interest, professional development programs, in-person events, and more. Membership is open to all for-profit and non-profit organizations that share the ACT-IAC vision and is free for all government employees. Learn more at actdiac.org/join. You can also make a tax-deductible donation at any time by visiting actdiac.org/donate. Thanks for listening.